Welcome to the CREXI podcast, an insider's look at all things commercial real estate. I'm Yannis Papadakis, business development manager at CREXI and today's host. Each episode, the CREXI team dives into a broad range of topics and conversations with featured experts to investigate trends, educate listeners, and understand the latest industry news in commercial real estate. As the nation's fastest growing online CRE platform, we're excited to provide a window into the inner workings of commercial real estate for this generation and the next. Welcome and thank you all for joining us for this episode of the CREXI podcast, an insider's look at all things commercial real estate. In this show, we cover a broad range of topics that both cater to commercial real estate newcomers and industry leaders alike. I'm your host, Yannis Papadakis, Business Development Manager at CREXI, a comprehensive digital commercial real estate platform designed to empower all commercial real estate professionals with the tools they need to discover and transact property. Sharing the mic with me today as my co-host is Bob Drury, Senior Managing Director at CREXI. Welcome aboard the podcast, Bob.
Happy to be here, Yannis. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. And today, we are thrilled to discuss the revitalization of Las Vegas commercial real estate with Adam Malin and Dina Marcello of Logic Commercial Real Estate. Adam Malin and his partners founded Logic Commercial Real Estate in August 2015, a company of over 75 commercial real estate professionals specializing in brokerage, property management, and capital markets. Adam offers clients more than 17 years of commercial real estate experience with career transactions totaling over $1 billion. He specializes in commercial REO, tenant and landlord representation, investment, and owner user sales, land acquisition, and development. In 2020, Adam was named an NAIOP Southern Nevada's Retail Broker of the Year. Adam has resided in Las Vegas, Nevada since 1988 and developed deep local connections within the real estate and business community and the region's various political municipalities. Adam is an active member of the International Council of Shopping Centers and has previously served on the board of directors for NAIOP's Southern Nevada chapter. Dina started her career in the commercial real estate industry 11 years ago as a brokerage associate and has earned her way to serving as an executive vice president at Logic Commercial Real Estate. Dina specializes in retail commercial real estate, and she's well-respected by a prestigious client roster consisting of institutional owners, investors, and national credit retailers, special servicers such as L&R Partners, Starwood, CW Capital, Greystone, Brixton, and Midland, as well as Starbucks Coffee Company, Chili's Grill and Bar, Maggiano's, Raising Cane's, and Noodle & Company, along with private high-net-worth investors. Dina is a partner of the Malin Marcello Retail Investment Advisors, the top-performing team at Logic Commercial Real Estate. She's been recognized as NAIOP Southern Nevada's Retail Broker of the Year for 2015, 2016, 2017, 2019, and 2020, and has set several local and national records for retail investment sale prices and cap rates. Most recently, Dina was recognized as CoStar's 2020 Power Broker for Retail Leasing and Connect Media's Next Generation Award winner. Dina is a graduate of NAIOP Southern Nevada's Developing Leaders Institute, and she continues to give back. She takes pride in being able to serve on committees, boards, and panels because it helps grow the NAIOP youth and prepares them to be lifelong, active members. Dina's most recent volunteering accomplishment is helping unveil Las Vegas's newest nonprofit charity, Project Maryland. She also helped raise funds for the Suicide Prevention Hotline and American Cancer Society. Adam, Dina, welcome to the podcast. Let's dive into it.
Just real quick, Yannis, I'm going to ad lib just a little bit here.
Yeah.
Just to give some a little context. So Dina and Adam and I did this last year right about this same time. And the world was a really different place than where it is today. Las Vegas in particular, the hotels were shut down. I mean, travel was shut down. And no one was very, certain about where we were going to end up. And so I always like talking to these two because they're really involved in a lot of different stuff in Las Vegas. They do sales, they do some tenant work and some leasing work. They represent institutional clients and regular buyers and sellers. And so they have a really good pulse on the whole Las Vegas marketplace. And so just a little background for that. So now I'm going to be really curious to see where we are today based on where we had this conversation a year ago. because, you know, like I said, the world's a different place right now. So anyway, that's just a little context for everybody.
Yeah, no, I'll pass it off to our guests. Well, where are we today versus where we were a year ago?
Yeah, so, well, thanks for having us. And to Bob's point, I mean, it's interesting. We were sitting here 12 months ago, not really knowing what was going on or what was going to happen. And it was almost a little bit scary to talk about the market because you didn't want to say the wrong thing or have too high or too low of expectations. But we're really excited to be here. And thankfully enough, we're actually in a really great position, much better than I think we thought maybe 12 months ago where we might be. But it's been an interesting last 12 months. It's been an interesting ride for us.
And when do you feel things started to kind of turn the corner and start moving in the right direction?
I would say probably around June, people started to take a look and back into the market and say, okay, you know, we've had the last couple of months that were a little bit scary. Everyone really, I would call it more a pause. It wasn't like a shutdown. It was like a pause. Everyone took some time to reevaluate. Things were more so just put on hold. From there, I think it was June, people started saying, okay, let me pick up the phone again and see what everyone's doing. And I think that's when people really started to say, okay, we're going to get through this. We're going to move on. And the world is continuing to turn and we need to turn with it. So I think it was probably June is when people started to just open their eyes again, at least. Right. And then I would say more so in the last couple of months, things are just really ticking up really quickly. But I think that's probably when people started to open up and wake up again.
Yeah, from a visitor standpoint, we have in January of 2021, we were at about 1.3, 1.4 million visitors, which is, you know, about 25% or less of what a normal average month was. 2019, average visitor volume was about 3.5 million per month. We were about 1.3 million in January. And as of the reporting for the first quarter, including March, we were at 2.23 million. So big increase from January to March, still off of our highs, obviously, but big increase. And I'm excited to see what the second quarter numbers speak to. You know, there's reports of a traffic jam coming from California to Las Vegas for the Memorial Day weekend. And you know, visitorship has been up. It feels different when you're on the strip. It feels different in restaurants. We're seeing a lot more activity in that regard. Weekday business is still lagging. You know, some stats we were reading before had January's weekend occupancy at about 48% and March's weekend occupancy up to 77%. And then correspondingly, January's weekday business was at about 22% occupancy. That's climbed to 48%.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the tourist part of Las Vegas is, you know, everybody thinks of the strip and all that, but there's a ton of different submarkets in your marketplace there, right? And it seems to me, and I could be wrong, but there was a short pause, like you said, where things weren't happening and people were nervous, but it seems like it started picking up last summer and transaction volume and sales and, you know, tenants coming to town and starting to look for new business or new locations and stuff like that didn't stop for very long in some of the submarkets. Is that accurate? Is that an accurate statement?
I agree with that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think from a business standpoint, a commercial real estate standpoint, it was a very short window of a pause. From a visitor standpoint, we're just now getting back, you know, to 2/3 of what we were at in 2019. But I think it was more so the commercial real estate aspect. It was a much shorter pause than the visitor aspect, like you're mentioning.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there, you know, as soon as the lockdown type status was over, you really saw velocity come back in better neighborhoods right away. In tougher neighborhoods, maybe it took the summer into the fall for real activity. But we were looking over some stats before jumping on here, and vacancy rate market wide for retail really has only changed about 50 basis points from first quarter of 2020 to first quarter of 2021. So despite the the dip, the stall, you know, the doom of vacancies that everybody envisioned coming. We've really only lost 50 basis points in overall market average vacancy. Asking,
that's amazing, actually.
Rates across the board are on par. I think there was 1 cent difference in average asking rate across the board for retail.
Wow. And to pivot on that a little bit, can you talk about the different submarkets in Las Vegas and kind of what patterns were emerging in each before COVID?
Yeah, I mean, but pre-COVID, which seems like a really long time ago now, you know, everything was kind of humming along really pretty much in all sectors and all submarkets, the Southwest being the strongest submarket amongst all of the other submarkets for growth. You know, a lot of new activity happening, a lot of retail presence, and but more so like new development. And so a lot of retailers are wanting to be there amongst other types of asset classes as well. But I would say the whole market was pretty busy. Once COVID kind of put the pause on everything, then we had that lag, but then the phone started ringing again. And really the submarkets that I would call them like the top five that retailers want to be in, that didn't change. People still want to be there. And it's just as quickly as one restaurant was closing, the other guy is calling, asking if it's available, when can they move in? So, you know, I would say submarket wise, nothing really changed. All the top five, which, you know, you have Southwest submarket, you have Summerlin, Henderson, the Northwest, and, you know, now along like Craig Road, extra north, there's great development happening out that way too. So I feel like those top fives are still places everybody wants to be.
And the housing markets in those submarkets have remained extremely strong, right? I mean,
yes.
Actually, you know, there's the shortage of houses and the prices are going up, and
yep.
At least that's what I hear. And
we're at all time highs on average median price, both on existing homes and on new home sales. To your point, inventory is the issue. And I think that translates into commercial right now as well.
Right.
Inventory is really the issue. I mean, if, you know, in the upper end neighborhoods, your home's worth more than you ever thought it was, ever dreamed it might be, but selling it and buying something else is going to be as high as you ever dreamed it was as well. But it's a tough market out there on the residential side. Anybody I've talked to that's out there trying to buy, we're back to that 20 offers in the first day on anything good, and, you know, over list cash purchases. You know, we look really attractive right now, despite that scarcity and the run up in prices. You got a ton of money moving here from higher tax environments and higher cost of living environments. So,
yep.
You know, the $2 million house here that we all think locally is way overpriced compared to the historical norm is viewed as a value.
The bargain for us Newport Beach people. Yeah,
exactly. So there's a lot of talk back and forth. I mean, neither of us are the residential experts, but, you know, you hear bubble a lot out here, but, you know, I think that a lot of the smart folks in the room will tell you that there's just such a high demand for, you know, for wealth moving in particular in, you know, from high tax environments into our state that, you know, they don't feel like this is really just a scarcity run.
Right.
You know, things hopefully will normalize when supply returns, but, you know, it's a trend I think that'll continue.
And to piggyback on that a little bit, I mean, Vegas was such a strong market before the pandemic and was named to NAR's 2021 list of top 10 commercial real estate markets. You know, what other factors positioned the region for its success?
You know, I think the low tax environment is the biggest. You've seen a lot of diversification in our market over the last, you know, certainly since, you know, the last recession, over the last 5 years plus. You know, the introduction of real large-scale distribution in our market was something that we didn't have before. And I think that's brought a new spotlight onto the market from a standpoint of, you know, I think in North Las Vegas alone, you know, you'd have 10 plus million square feet of high volume, large distribution space built and absorbed in the last couple of years alone, with, you know, about as much as that on the line already coming out now. And that's just brought a new employee. It's brought a new employment generator. It's really encouraged retail growth out in areas that were traditionally more of an industrial commute type zone. So I think from that standpoint, we've grown up as a market and diversified quite a bit from where we were maybe in the run-up of the early 2000s. And just we remain an attractive place for investment. I think that keeps us in the spotlight.
Yeah, like
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say logistically, we're competitive with the LA market for distribution, and you know, time-wise for logistics, it makes sense where they can be in a more tax-friendly, business-friendly place, and that's really just helped with employment as well here. So, like Adam said, it's just diversified us.
So yeah, I think you finally. You know, Chris, for the longest time, everything was based on the hospitality industry, right? And the gaming business. And there weren't a lot of other kind of jobs, you know, in that market, you know, say 15 years ago, right? And it seems like Las Vegas has evolved into, you know, a really diverse marketplace, right? You have distribution, you know, the Raiders just moved there, right? You've got, you know, there's a lot of other job opportunities besides working at the MGM hotel or casino. And so, I think that it sounds like anyway, that's obviously good for the commercial real estate business there and the retailers. And so that market is getting stronger instead of going the other way, like everybody thought with COVID, it's going to get worse and worse. It sounds like it's getting better and better, actually.
Yeah, we've definitely had that pro sports effect with the Raiders, with the Golden Knights before that. There's talk about getting the Oakland A's out here as well. As a baseball fan, I hope to see that happen. I feel like, you know, something that's underestimated or not talked about a lot is just the employment environment in some of the surrounding states, California in particular. Just the cost of doing business as a you know, high volume employer out there, I think, has really just put a spark to our market. The amount of corporate office development and absorption kind of around the Southwest 215 Beltway that really positions you between the higher end neighborhoods of Summerlin and Henderson has just been really strong. And back to the distribution, bringing a different employee to the market, we're seeing a lot of growth that are bringing higher wage, higher skill employees to the market as well. That just, again, a lot of migration from neighboring states with tougher employment and tax laws.
And, you know, now that we're nearly out of the COVID tunnel, you know, how are you seeing Las Vegas and its submarkets growing, right? What pockets of the MSA are booming, and what does the forecast look like for each?
I think that, just kind of touch on what we said earlier, the Southwest submarket is very hot. And like Adam just mentioned, specifically for office along the Beltway and bringing in just larger employers, it's very attractive. So that's a great submarket for office and for retailers alike. You know, we are in a valley, and so our land is a little bit constricted on where we can go and what submarkets can expand. But just even out on the north side of the valley, out by Sky Canyon, and that Centennial area is also growing quite a bit, and homes are a little bit more affordable out there as well. So I would say those two submarkets are probably the fastest growing for Las Vegas.
Yeah, I agree with Dina. I mean, we're a valley that's give or take 20, 25 miles wide at its widest point, and we're growing outward in all directions. Some of the more explosive growth is really in throughout the Henderson submarket, east and west, throughout the southwest portion, South Summerlin. You've really got a ton of growth out in the North Las Vegas corridor, northeast stretch of 215. That's really where land prices have held low enough that homes can still be delivered on a wide scale on an affordable basis. And you're seeing a lot of growth out there. So really, anywhere around the peripheral of the valley, you're seeing strong new home growth. And, you know, from a commercial standpoint, I feel like there's growth in all sectors, all over. One thing I was impressed with over the, the whole 2020 in terms of, you know, the pandemic and that, you know, the effect that we thought we'd see in consumer spending and other things, Yeah, and it could be stimulus related to some degree, so it'll be interesting to see how that stabilized out. But of the retailers that we have sales reporting data from, and those that we represent and what have you, the performance in the East Las Vegas submarket that's traditionally a little bit more blue collar, middle to low demographic, was really strong. And I think that's pushing retail development and other growth in that area that maybe pre-COVID you'd kind of go there last after you cover everything else in the market. I think the QSR sales, the coffee sales, the restaurant sales in those areas did really well throughout the pandemic, and it's they're getting a spotlight.
Now, in terms of development, I mean, it's booming right now and it's growing. Construction jobs have been steadily increasing since 2016. How long do you think this development will continue on this trajectory?
I don't see it slowing down anytime soon. You know, if you were talking to an industrial broker right now, they would tell you there's not enough buildings that can be built quick enough. You know, we constantly compete at all levels with Arizona and some of the other surrounding states. And oftentimes it comes down to, you know, the speed in which you can deliver buildings to the market as to whether you land that next build-to-suit that's coming into the market and what have you. You know, we've got good development on the forefront throughout the resort corridor, and that really kind of keeps on a large scale the construction environment moving. And, you know, that's always been one of our bigger employment sectors. Mm-hmm. You know, again, the home builders can't build houses quick enough, and, you know, I don't see that changing or stopping anytime soon. So, you know, I think we've got good wind in our sails and a lot of good momentum. And I think that builds on a foundation that was really strong pre-COVID. You know, again, when you look at the stats, it feels good right now, and it feels like it as good as it would have in late 2019. But when you look at the stats, they're all fairly supportive of that feeling as well. It'll be, as I said earlier, really cool to see end of Q2 numbers come out, because I think we'll be a lot closer to where we historically sit in terms of visitorship. And to your point earlier, Bob, that's not, there's plenty of suburbs, and Vegas is a much more dynamic and diverse market than most of the country gives it credit for when they just think of the Strip.
Right, right.
That's still a huge portion of the employment that drives the flourishing suburbs and everywhere else. So getting that back, getting that daytime business back with as good as it feels now, I think is really going to be, you know, you might see a push.
Hey, well, we're all coming back for ICSE in December, yeah. Right here. So, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a lot of other conventions outside of ICSE coming up. And obviously we talked about ICSE last time. When is it going to come back? And right. So, you know, it's in December, which much better weather. So you guys don't have to wear suits in 100 and something degree weather. So yeah. But you know, we have the Concrete Convention coming up here in June. That's over 60,000 people. They have Magic coming back in the fall. There's probably another 20 to 30 conventions that are planned just for this year alone.
Yeah.
And outside of that, we have Resorts World opening up in June, which will deliver 3,500 rooms. We just had the Virgin Hotel open up in March. And that was another, you know, what was that, 1,500 rooms. So that's a lot of jobs, you know, yep. In addition to just being rooms, but food and beverage, housekeepers, dealers, you know, all positions, valet, it just really does continue to impact our market. And with all these people moving here, we talked about home growth and all that. I mean, there's just so much opportunity still left for people to come, you know, here in Las Vegas, which in turn, commercial investments kind of plays with that as well. So
right.
There's a lot.
You know, it's funny because last year when we talked, you know, it was like, okay, so all these restaurants are going to be going out of business, and, you know, the hotels are all going to be, you know, going back to the banks, and, you know, a lot of the retailers are just not going to make it, and there's going to be tons of vacancy and all this extra space, and what's going to happen there. And it doesn't sound like any of that's happened necessarily. I know they've probably lost some restaurants here and there, but you mentioned earlier someone else is coming along and filling those spaces. And so, I mean, is there much, you know, of that sort of second, third generation space that isn't being filled or from closed restaurants and stuff like that? I mean, is there much out there, or does that not just happen? It just never really came.
I think more so any of the spaces that have high vacancy, there's usually other factors, you know, maybe it's just location overall, maybe it's not the right product that's built, not in the right area, you know, maybe access is poor, you know, there's usually some sort of other underlying issue that is outside of just being a vacant space. So really, just like with investment sales and on the leasing side, it's a flight to quality. Those A locations are getting swept up right away. You know, maybe the C place sits a little bit longer, but it's the same thing on the investment sales side. If it's well located, good credit tenants, I mean, you've multiple buyers, you know, it's quite competitive.
Now, looking ahead, what are the most important things to keep in mind for potential investors interested in Las Vegas commercial real estate, both on the fundamental side and based on some more recent trends?
Well, I think, you know, people come to Las Vegas for investing for a few reasons. And number one, it's taxes, you know, and I think that's still a great reason to come here. Pricing is a little bit more, the cap rates are a little bit compressed right now. And so if you are interested in a property, if you do like it, you have to move quickly and you have to understand that cap rates are a little bit compressed and be willing to, you know, to get to that price point. So I think people think Las Vegas and they think deal, but it's not here right now. What would you say?
Yeah, I'd argue the same. I mean, if I had a nickel for all the calls I got throughout last year looking for distressed retail real estate, you know, it'd be a good year. That just didn't manifest itself.
Yeah,
you know, there was a war chest of money raised out there for value add distressed opportunities that never came. A lot of that money is now funneling back into market purchases. But I agree with Dina. I mean, it's, you know, similar to the residential side, there's just not as much inventory out there on the investment side to match up with the amount of money that's wanting to move around for a multitude of reasons, whether it be, you know, tax changes on the horizon or high tax states or moving a business. You know, we've seen a lot of that affect the commercial investment in terms of guys that are just either moving their business here or, you know, fleeing that high tax state from a residential standpoint. They're here and they're wanting to buy commercial real estate, you know, because they're coming out, you know, for their life as well. You know, what I would say to an investor's outlook on this market, kind of speaking, Dina, to your point of, you know, cap rates are compressed relative to where you thought they would go last year. Really, they're just on par or, you know, in the single tenant high credit space, maybe they're a little bit compressed from 2019. But on average, you're pretty well trading in the same range that you would have in the running, you know, the hot market of fourth quarter of 2019 that you are now. And I wouldn't look at that as a negative. I view this market having a long runway. And, you know, it always seems like something is expensive when you're buying it. But I think with some perspective on where this market's going and where it's came from. And, you know, it's always relative to alternatives, right? And I just think that we're in the same breath that residential investors look at this market as cheap relative to what they're used to. I think you'll see that same short, medium, and long-term effect on commercial real estate as well.
Nice. So what final words of advice do you have for brokers and your peers?
You know, any advice on the broker side is I feel like anybody in my sphere that kept their head down, didn't focus on the noise, put in hard work, employed a strategy, there was a lot of success to be had over the last year. You know, if you played crossword puzzles and thought that the world was over and that you'd wake up in 2021 and figure it out again, you may have had a tough time. But I really feel like if you were on your grind and putting a business plan together, the market treated us a lot better than a lot of us feared it would have when we were sitting on the phone a year ago, Bob.
Yeah, no, that, you know what? That's a great comment. I think that's as good as advice as I've heard in a long time. It's like you got to stay the course, and there's no substitute for hard work, right?
Yeah.
And keeping doing what you're doing. That's awesome.
Well, Adam, Dina, thank you both for joining us and sharing your insights, especially on such important topics. We really appreciate your time today, and I know you're very busy, so thank you for taking the morning to sit down with us. And where can people find you online if they want to get in touch?
They can find us everywhere. So you can find us on LinkedIn, and you can find us on Instagram, and you can also find us on logiccre.com, and email us anytime.
Thanks everyone for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure not to miss the next one. Visit go.crexi.com/podcast. That's go.crexi.com/podcast, and sign up to get the very next episode delivered straight to your inbox. You can also subscribe to the Crexi podcast on your favorite podcast app, or check out our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/crexi for video recordings of each episode. Goodbye, stay well, we'll see you next time.